Your word says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Lord, we bow this morning at that precious name of Jesus, at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you alone today honor and glory, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated, or you're already seated. Thank you so much, praise and worship team. Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the second epistle of Peter? That's 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1, verses 1 through 4 there. And also in the same book of 2 Peter, turn over and kind of put your finger or put a mark on verse 19. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, or 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and 2 Peter chapter 2. Verses 19 through 22, and would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like a precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And now over in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. This is speaking of false teachers. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of developing disciples in the power of the Spirit. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, as always, for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that's everything to us. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Word today, which is revealed and energized and quickened in our hearts by the same power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, today I'm asking for you to give us a clear revelation of just the great magnitude of the work of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, even when we don't realize it. I just feel you want us reminded and you want us to clearly see how your Spirit works on us all the time if our faith is right, if our faith is anchored in Christ and Him crucified. What a glorious, glorious transformation is taking place in our lives, even when we don't realize it, as the mighty Holy Spirit of God is working on us. And Lord, show us the danger today, conversely, of if we turn from faith in Christ, how evil we can become ensnared in the evil of religion. And Lord, I ask for your divine enablement today to preach your word and to make it clear to your people and to bring glory and honor to the name and person of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, help me to be a blessing to your people today. Make your word clear to your people. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Peter, I believe, like no other disciple of Christ, his life shows the amazing transformation of what the Holy Spirit can do in a person's life. When the Lord Jesus called Peter to be one of the disciples, he called a very crude, erratic fisherman. Most of the world looking at a man like Peter would have never wanted anything to do with him. But Jesus saw in him what he could be, not what he was. And incidentally, I'm so glad that the Lord looks at all of us that way. That he don't see us as we are. He sees us for what we're one day going to be and what he can turn us into. Peter was transformed from this impetuous, erratic personality into one of the stalwarts for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whereas he penned this epistle under the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit, this leader of the first century church, Peter, now is crippled by most historical accounts, fulfilling the prophecy that Jesus told him would happen, that in his old age, men would carry him where he would rather not go. But yet he did go to those places in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. More than likely, he penned this epistle on a paralytic's bed, having to be carried to even deliver whatever message the Lord would give him. He would be carried by other men. And you would think of that, well, why didn't the Lord heal him? I wish I could answer that, but I do know this. What the Apostle Paul wrote, in human weakness is God's strength made perfect. And Peter, as he was carried to these churches, and he wrote this epistle. It's what's called a general epistle. It was written, or general letter, if you will, written to the church universal, and it's just as fresh today and just as applicable today to you and I as it was when Peter was moved on by the Spirit to write it. It's said of Peter that his influence on the first church, on the first century church, could not be overstated. History, listen to this, history bears out that this man, who at one time was so impetuous and so quick to react, was transformed into such a man of love for the people of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, that when it came time for them to crucify him, and what was his only crime? Preaching the gospel. And under Roman law, when it came time for him to be crucified, and this is historical now, this is not in the Bible, but there's strong historical evidence to support what I'm telling you, is that when they came to crucify him, he said, "Crucify me upside down, because I'm not worthy to be crucified upright like my Lord was." Think of that. That's from a crude, erratic, impetuous fisherman turned in to somebody who loves God that much and loves God's people that much. Something that the modern church needs to know. The first mark of the first true sign of anybody who's doing a work for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's being used by God, they love him first. And they love God's people. And they don't see God's people as a source of exploitation. They don't see God's people as a commodity, if you will, to enrich their own life. Any true minister of the gospel, whatever office he holds, he knows his first work is to please God. And his second work is to see the people of God developed properly in their relationship to Jesus Christ. Not to exploit them for money, not to exploit them for personal gain, but to see them developed. Christ. That's, you know, I thought as I was preparing this message, stand behind pulpits. What is your preaching supposed to do? Now, you may get a myriad of answers on that. But really, it comes down to one thing, what preaching's supposed to do. It's supposed to develop the people of God. Now, let me elaborate on that for a minute, because preaching in and of itself will not do that. Let me hone in on this for just a moment. The correct message delivered by a God-called individual, the Holy Spirit will flow through that message and the Holy Spirit will develop God's people. That's why it cannot be overemphasized the importance of people placing themselves under the right message of a God-called individual. Because if they place themselves under the wrong message, very little good is going to get done for that person. I mean, they're just not simply going to grow. I'll never forget it. And I believe, Dennis, you were in this meeting with me, if I recall correctly. It was at our former church, and we were in consternation. We couldn't figure out what was going on. I was laying on my face daily before God, just in tears, saying, God, help me here. Help me here. I don't understand what's happening. And we were in this particular meeting, and naturally, being the pastor, most of those that sat on that board were ready to take their pot shots at me, and boy, they did. Dennis will remember some of those days. But I'll never forget one of the gentlemen, and I'm not going to call his name, said that the problem with the church at that point in time was that there was no discipleship program. Another one said, and I thought foolishly so, their daughter was not coming to church no longer because there was nothing there for them. And I thought, how foolish. I thought, especially to the gentleman who said that there was no discipleship program there. You see, his mindset was that you put people in a program to make disciples. That you have to form a system or a man-made program, and that's how disciples are made. And I thought, I knew my time was short there then, and I didn't even take the time to try to combat that. But I'm using that as an example this morning to show you this. Programs do not produce disciples of Jesus Christ. Only, hear what I'm saying this morning. Only the Holy Spirit of God can produce a disciple of Jesus Christ. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can produce a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how is that accomplished? I'm going to give you some nuts and bolts here before I go further in the message. That person chooses to set themselves under the right message, Christ and Him crucified. Under a God-called individual, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, or pastor. And as they sit under the message, the correct message, I don't care how poorly it's delivered, Peter was nothing but a fisherman, but he had the anointing of God, and he had the call of God, and he had the right message, and he changed the Middle Eastern world. A fisherman did. That's what God can do. That's what Holy Ghost power can do. That's why you're looking at somebody who's years ago the Lord got me over it. One to be a brilliant orator. One to be somebody who is educated. Because those things will not in and of themselves produce a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's only as Christ and Him crucified is preached and delivered to the people of God by a God-called servant that the Holy Ghost of God flows through that message and transforms lives by Holy Ghost power. It's the only way to make a disciple. You can't do it by a program. You can't do it by trying to make people jump through spiritual hoops. It simply will not happen that way. And the church has by and large forsaken Holy Ghost power. They haven't come right out and said that. No. They're ashamed to. But why do you think there's so many programs permeating the church today? So many different ways of people say, oh, come do this and it's going to produce that in your life. Man cannot produce nothing. Only the Holy Ghost can produce the person of Jesus Christ in a person's heart and life. And it's done as that person sits under the right message. The right message. If you're under the wrong message, you've got no hope at all of growing spiritually. You've got no hope at all of this mighty Holy Ghost power developing you and turning you in to a person of God. But oh my Lord, when you sit under the right message, glory to God, and the Holy Ghost is flowing, lives are going to be transformed. Hearts are going to be changed. People like this Peter, who at one time was an impetuous, arrogant, erratic personality, was turned into one who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and changed the face of the entire planet. My Lord, that's what Holy Ghost power can do. That's why I don't want what man can do in my life. I don't want man controlling my life in any capacity. I want to be under the influence and control of the Holy Ghost of God, because I know He'll lead me. He'll guide me. He'll take me every step of the way, and He'll produce in me and transform me into something I could have never, ever been left to my own device. Praise God. Hallelujah. And as we begin this epistle of Peter, and I got to stop here and preach for a moment. I know at times I have come down real hard on a lot of ministers of the gospel for what they're preaching. And it should be done for some of the junk they're putting out there. I mean, this week, it was back from 2009, but it bears mentioning nonetheless. Phil sent me a video of my old buddy Perry Stone, and he was sitting on air with a Jewish rabbi. Now, you know, Mike, you're going to enjoy this. You know what he'd come up with then? This was before the meal that heals. You know, take communion and everything will be all right. Just take communion every day. He had discovered these olive trees that would create a special anointing oil when nurtured and produced by a special person. And I'm abbreviating this greatly. I don't want to spend too long on it. And, of course, Perry had the inside track on how to produce this special oil that's going to just produce miracles and healings and just whatever you need. Now think of that. Oil can't produce what only the Holy Spirit can do. You can pour enough oil on somebody, bankrupt Exxon, and it's not going to change them. There's no power in oil. It's in the power of the Spirit. And my Lord, a few years back when everybody got into this horn blowing stuff, I don't know if y'all remember that. I thought, Lord, it's a wonder this whole world don't hate me. Well, a lot of them do. But I tell you what, I can't stand to see. It's a pet peeve of mine. If you want to know, I'm pretty much a calm personality except when I'm preaching. But if you want to know what really gets under my skin spiritually, I can't stand to see God's people exploited or done wrong. I can't stand to see them led in a wrong direction, because I know the spiritual carnage that's going to be a result of that. And sadly, the mindset of most of the church is that me, the little old preacher on the corner, is worthless because I don't preach in a big cathedral. I don't have a following of tens of thousands, and I'm not on TV. So therefore, I can't know nothing about God. That's the mindset of most of the church. They'll listen to somebody like a foolish Perry Stone who's exploiting them for money. Yeah, take the meal that heals every day. Take communion every day. All your problems will be solved. You'll be healed. Your financials will be fine. And incidentally, I've got the $49.95 communion set. I'll sell you so you can do it every day. That's exploitation of God's people. And that's why I preach against it so, because I'm not trying to hold myself up. It's been a work of God in my heart and life. It wasn't always this way. I love God's people. I want to see them led in the right direction. I want to see them burgeoning spiritually. I want to see them in right fellowship with God through faith in Christ and what He did at the cross, because I know what that will do in an individual's life. And you know what breaks my heart about it all? And I'm going to name some names right now. People like Perry Stone, Ken Copeland, Rod Parsley, Joyce Meyer. There is not one shred of doubt in my mind that these people are called of God to preach the gospel. Can I tell you that? I've witnessed it. I've seen the evidence of it. They have the gift. They have the call to preach this gospel. But the sad part is they have done what we read over, and turn with me there, what it says would happen in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Listen to this. While they promised them liberty, all of them promised something other than godliness and Holy Ghost power. They say, give to our ministry, you'll get rich. Do it our way, you'll get healed. And they always have something other than Jesus Christ they're pointing to put your faith in. They're exploiting God's people. They're making merchandise of God's people. And that's tragic. Why? Because they're all so gifted. Can I tell you that? You're probably sitting there, I see some of you looking at me bug-eyed now. They're brilliant orators. When it comes to public speaking, everybody I've named, I can't even come close to being a brilliant orator like they are. But they have forsaken the message. Hence, for all their promises of liberty, listen to this. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. If Christ and Him crucified is not the focal point of your message and where you're leading God's people to, you are corrupt. You are totally and spiritually corrupt. And you're going to corrupt the lives of God's people. One thing I want you to know, God forbid, you may not always have me here with you. That's why I've always tried to lead you to the cross of Christ. That's why I've always wanted you to know you go to the foot of that cross. You don't dare look to this preacher. Some preachers like to make their people dependent upon them so their egos can swell and, yeah, they really need me. I don't want a person ever feeling that way about me. Because I got to tell you something, I'm just messed up as you are. As I've told you 1,000 times before, I'm just one starving man telling other starving people where there's a person giving out free sandwiches. Hallelujah. I'm just one spiritually ugly individual telling other people there is a place you can go to and have your ugliness transformed into beauty. There's a place you can go to and have your life restored and put back together. And it is the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And all these people lead God's people to something other than what they really need. Why? You say, why would they do that? I think some of them are deceived, doing it unintentionally, but that don't justify it. Why are they doing it? It affords them lavish lifestyles. Jesus in a mansion with security guards and a security system. Can you imagine that? That's how most of these big-time preachers live. My Lord, how foolish is that? Listen, if it's your time to go, if God can't protect you, Brinks ain't going to be able to do it. You know, if you want to come from the premise of, well, you know, I'm just so popular and have so many enemies. Well, hey, nobody had more enemies than these guys in this book. And God kept them. You know, they couldn't touch Paul. No, I mean, they beat him up several times, yeah, but they couldn't kill him until God was ready for him to go. Man, the Holy Spirit's really helped me to preach this good this morning. Yeah, until it's God's time. So these people don't need all this stuff. It's their ego. It's human ego. Read on. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I do not have a doubt that any one of the people, and there's many others I can name, were at one time, they were right with Jesus Christ. I know, I've studied the history of most of them. And they started off loving the Lord. But through the years, flesh and lust crept in. And they started seeing, I can expand my ministry. That's the one Satan waves at people. I can expand my ministry. Well, everybody wants their ministry expanded, but I want God doing the expansion if it's done. Because if He don't do it, and I do it through some fleshly method, guess what that is? Corruption. What we just read in the Word, it's corruption. Let's read on for a moment. If at one time they've been saved through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome the latter as worse for them at the beginning. In other words, it's worse off for them because they one time walked in the truth. Nothing breaks my heart greater than pastor is to have known people that at one time have walked in the truth and the glorious message of Christ and Him crucified and see Him fall away from it. And I've seen it happen far too many times than I care to remember. And listen to what verse 21 says. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. What is the way of righteousness? What's the only way a person can be made righteous? Through faith in Christ and Him crucified. It's a direct reference to faith in the cross. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Did you see that? The holy commandment. There's only one. There's only one in the New Testament, really. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit work on you. And that faith in Christ and what he did at the cross and his precious shed blood transforms you and I from lawbreakers into law keepers. Hallelujah. Only by faith can the Ten Commandments be kept. There's not a one of us in our flesh that has ever kept all ten of those commandments. We can't do it. It was designed to show us those Ten Commandments were. We can't do it. That we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And in Him is all righteousness. He's the only way that we can keep God's holy standard is by faith in the one who did keep God's holy standard. I'll never tire of preaching Christ and Him crucified because I know what it means to me. I know what it means to God's people. Hallelujah. But think of the magnitude of what we just read from the Word of God. It had been better for you to have never known and walked in the truth of Christ and Him crucified than to have known it and turned from it. Because there is a worse entanglement then. And you know what that entanglement is? Religion. Religion. That's why most of the people who fall away from the cross don't even know they've fallen out of right faith in God. Because they've turned to a religious system or religious works. And that's enough on that now. That's the downside. Let's go back to 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 1, Simon Peter tells us that he's writing to those who have obtained like precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to the church of that day and to the church today. And in verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Now look at verse 3. This ought to make us all shout. And of course, this is referring to Jesus Christ. "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." The Holy Spirit's major mission in our lives as believers is to give us all things pertaining to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. God's not going to make everybody rich. But you know what He has promised? That we're not going to be poor. I don't care what part of the world you are, and I'm not a prosperity preacher, you all know that. But if people start serving Jesus Christ and fall in love with Him, and they begin to serve Him, that you're not going to stay poor. You're going to have clothes. You're going to have a roof over your head. You're going to have everything you need for life. But this life that's being referred to here in the scripture we've just read is our spiritual life, which is the greatest need we have as human beings. We need, and the Lord knew this, we need to have the Holy Ghost working on us continually. And praise God, He does, if our faith is right. If our faith is right. If we have chosen to believe in the right message, it matters not how inept the messenger is. It matters not the lack of oration or oratory ability of the messenger. If that messenger is leading you to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the Holy Ghost is going to work and lives are going to be transformed. Hallelujah. And there's no program involved in it. It's Holy Ghost power that produces a disciple of Jesus Christ. God, get the church back in the last days to seeing that. That if we'll just preach and believe right, the mighty Holy Ghost of God will flow through that and make us into wonderful things that we could never be. Just like He did in Peter's life. There is no secret formula for it. There's no 10 steps or 12 steps or 40 days or 6 weeks or whatever you want to call it. I like how Brother Lauren says it. It's a one-step program. Praise God. God's got a one-step program. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you at the cross, and the Holy Ghost will work on you. And can I tell you this? We think of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is glorious. Everything He does is glorious. I want to say that. But as He works on us, as the Holy Spirit is developing us, more oftentimes than not, there's going to be a certain amount of pain and discomfort involved in that. Why? Because you know what the Holy Spirit is working on us to do? He's working on us to teach us that Christ is totally sufficient for everything we're ever going to need. Christ alone. And let me tell you something, my Lord, I look at my life now, and I wish I could stand here and tell you that I'm totally sanctified, and the Lord's got everything out of the way, and I'm not, you know, there's nothing between me and Him as far as, and there's not sin-wise, but I'm talking about as far as in my poor, pitiful flesh, that there's still not things the Holy Spirit needs to take out of me to show me He's your everything. Jesus is your everything. And God will allow a certain amount of discomfort, especially, listen to what I'm saying now, especially if it's in an area where we have something above Him. Now, I know we sing songs romantically about, you know, how there's nothing between us and Him. And with our faith in Christ, spiritually, that's true. I'm talking about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit on our lives right now in this fleshly tabernacle. If there's something there that we're pining over and we're like, I just can't live without this. And as Chris said earlier today, that desperation for whatever it is we think we need is not anchored in Christ. Oh, the Lord is going to show us you don't need that. And we can cry and we can kick and we can scream and beat the floor and throw dust in the air and put on sackcloth, and God is simply not going to move. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is taking us to the sweetest place. He is attempting to take us to the sweetest place He could ever take us to where we know, Jesus, you truly are everything I need. I don't need all these other things that I'm crying out to you for. I don't need this or that in my life. I don't need this person. I don't need this promotion. I don't need this job. I don't need X amount of dollars. Jesus, what your word says is true. You've already given me everything that pertains to life and godliness in you. Man, that's Holy Ghost work. Now, that ain't going to make a lot of folks shout. But this is real preaching we're getting this morning. And you know what's going on as this word is going forth? The Holy Spirit's working on all of us. He's working on me as I preach it. Yeah, I need the work too. I preach to myself 99% of the time. And I, in my soul, I'm saying, man, that's good. That's amen. And I'm not giving myself glory for that. That's the Holy Spirit. He's producing the thoughts. He's producing the words. He's giving the revelation. But He's already given us. That's why I said He wanted to make a shout. Everything we're ever going to need has already been provided for us in Christ Jesus. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants to take us to where we, and you know what the byproduct of that is? As He gets us there, as one by one, He removes these little idols out of our lives. I'm going to make us uncomfortable here for a minute. All of us have an idol in our life. Amen, Pastor. Missed a great chance to say amen there. All of us got one. In this natural life we're living, yeah, what's an idol? Something we place more value on than our relationship to the Lord. Or something we have or we think we need that He's not provided us. And we pine after it and we cry after it. And we spend our life trying to obtain it on our own. And sometimes the Lord will withhold those things from us to show us, no, no. Because He's sanctifying us. He's sanctifying us. No, you don't need that. You just need me. You just need me. Oh, that's unpleasant. That's very unpleasant to the... And that's why I'll probably, and I don't care, that's probably why I'll never pastor a big church or go preach at a big cathedral or anything like that, and I don't care. Cause why? Because I'm wanting to see you developed in Jesus Christ. I'm wanting to give you something real to take home with you. That's not just pie in the sky, not just something that we come in here and makes you shout and gives you the heebie-jeebies and chill bumps, and you go home not being transformed by the power of God. I want to preach the cross that I know will produce change and transformation in my life and in your life. And that's the only thing that will do it. And everything we have need of has already been given us in Christ Jesus. And man, it's painful when the Holy Spirit's ripping idols out. But praise God, He's doing it. That proves we're children of God. And I know this is strong preaching today, strong medicine today. But you know what? In this hour in which we're living, we need it. We need to be reminded because we hear so much to the contrary. that God's just this big old grandfatherly guy sitting on the throne, ready when you perform right, that he's ready to dispense all the world to us. And that's simply not true. One day we're going to walk streets of gold. Hallelujah. I was watching this thing yesterday. Ravon and I were on the History Channel about Fort Knox, and where, you know, where they keep all the gold and everything. These rooms just full of gold bars, protected by the greatest technology in the world. I mean, if a rat moves its eye in there, you know, somebody knows it. I mean, they have so many highly technical gadgets in the place. And I thought, what man put so much value on? All that gold. We're going to walk on it up there. Praise God. That's what we've got to look forward to. Hallelujah. That's what we must look forward to. We must, as believers, live our lives, and the Holy Spirit will produce this. He will produce in us a mindset and a thought of living for the there and then, not so much the here and now. Because you look at the here and now, we're probably never going to be rich, and at least in this bunch anyway. I mean, that's no slam against anybody, but so what? We're going to get it one day. One day it's coming. There's going to be a great reward. Hallelujah. But right now in this life, everything we're ever going to have need of has been produced through Jesus Christ. That's what the Scriptures tell us, and that's discipleship there. That's why Peter, and my goodness, if anybody ever messed up a bunch of times in Scripture, it was this Peter. Remember? He denied even knowing the Lord when a little servant girl came to him at a fire the night before Jesus was crucified. Why? He didn't want to look bad. He didn't want to look bad in front of all his buddies. She said, I saw you with him. He said, I don't even know the man's name. She repeated, sir, I'm positive I saw you with him. The Bible says he got mad and started cussing. Cursing is what the Bible says, but it literally means he took the Lord's name in vain to prove he was not one of them. Peter, the same guy who wrote what we've just read, that's what transforming power of the Holy Ghost can do. When the Holy Ghost makes the disciples, and you can put people in a program and you can regiment them and make it look like something's going on in their life and they've really changed. But when the fires and trials come, it'll show what they've got. Hallelujah. And I have always wanted the people that I preach to be founded upon the solid rock of Christ and what he did on the cross, because I know they'll stand through anything. I know if they're believing in him, the Holy Ghost of God is going to empower them. And they can take whatever this world or the enemy throws at them, because greater is he that's in them than he that's in the world. Praise God. He's already given us everything. I've got to hurry. Verse 3, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now we're going to go on and read verse 4, and I'm going to close on this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, your word of faith teacher is going to tell you that means you're going to get a big house and a big Cadillac if you give to their ministry. Perry Stone's going to tell you you're going to get that if you buy the oil that only he can produce, or take his meal that heals and buy his little communion set. That's corruption. That's corruption. But read what the Scripture really means. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What are these great and precious promises? That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's how the Holy Ghost makes disciples. When faith is placed exclusively in Christ and what he did at the cross. We have two natures in us already as human beings. We're born this way. We come into the world with two natures. Number one is, of course, the sin nature, where it's real easy for us to be bad. Matter of fact, we're bent that way. We come into the world bent that way. It's easy for us to be bad and corrupt. God didn't intend it to be so, but that's just a fact. We come into this world with that sin nature. We come into this world with human nature. That's the thing we all have in common, that, you know, we get hungry, we eat, go find something, go drive down to McDonald's or whatever. Or if you're a health nut like I should be, you can go grab a carrot or something like that. instead of going to Grater's ice cream, you know. But I eat fruit. I think cherry ice cream still qualifies as a fruit. I don't know. I believe in God for that. But that's human nature. We all have that in common. We're born with those two natures. You like that, do you, Chris? We're born with those two natures, the sin nature and the human nature. But when we put our faith, and those are the things that cause us all, the sin nature, of course, causes us all the problems we have as humans before we know Christ. Really. Because it dominates our lives. We can't be free from it. We can't be free from it. And if you don't believe right, even after you're a born-again Christian, the sin nature will dominate your life. If you're listening to some type of corrupt teaching and sitting under some type of corrupt teaching, the Bible said it. We just read it. You're like a pig returning to the mud again. I mean, it's a crude illustration, but in the Word, it's like a dog returning to its own vomit. That's what Scripture said. If you fall away from that truth and put your faith in religion, it's one of the most worst things that could happen to a person. But those two natures, the sin nature and human nature, cause us great trouble. But when the very second a sinner cries out and says, "Lord Jesus, I'm bound by this thing called the sin nature. I can't quit cocaine, Lord. I can't quit pining after whatever it is I think I need. It's dominating me. It's ruining my life. And Jesus, I'm realizing I need you. I need you. Everything that I'm ever going to need, Jesus, it's in you. And I'm turning everything, my life, my sin, I'm turning it all over to you." Man, what a great transaction this is when a person does that. Because what does God give us for our sin? First, of course, He cleanses us in the blood of Jesus. Then you know what He does? He puts the divine nature of Jesus Christ into you and I. You're not getting what I just told you. You're not getting the magnitude of it. I've got to preach it harder. I said He gives us the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Do you get that? I got to say it again. He gives you and I the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that divine nature all of a sudden overpowers sin nature and human nature and provides us with a power to live right. Provides us with a power working on the inside of us, continually transforming and conforming us into the personality of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, somebody ought to praise God. That's the greatest promise God's ever given us, is that we will be recipients of the divine nature. Wow. Because that's all we need in this life. And that's what the Holy Spirit's trying to show us. If you got that, it don't matter what position you are on the social scale, what position you are on the corporate scale, what position you are on the financial scale, and what most preachers need to learn, what position you are on the religious scale. All that matters is that you know He's in me. And glory to God, I'm in Him. What other promise do we need other than that? That guarantees us eternal life. That guarantees us right fellowship with God. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is making us disciples, transforming our lives continually. If you sit under the right message, some of you here this morning, maybe you've come and you've sat under the message of the cross for years, and I hope you don't think of it this way, but perhaps some might. And you're probably right in your thinking on what I'm about to say. Well, that pastor just bores me to tears. Yes, hearty amen. Hearty amen there. I'm not smart enough. Like old Stuart Smalley used to be on Saturday Night Live. I'm smart enough and good enough and doggone it, people like me. No, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. And most folks don't like me. But hallelujah, it's the right message you're sitting under. And the message is so powerful. Even delivered by somebody who's inept and not a brilliant public speaker, if it's the right message of Christ and what He did for you on the cross, and you're being led there, the Holy Ghost is working on you. And change is happening even when you don't realize it. That's the power of the right message. Glory to God. That's how disciples are developed. That's how God's developing you and I right now. Because the message is right. I look at men like Brother Swaggart and Brother Larson, and hope in my heart that one day I could deliver the message 1/10 as good as they can. That's in my flesh. But I also know this. My message is the same as theirs. And the same Holy Ghost is moving through it. And that same Holy Ghost, although I'm not even worth scratching the surface of where they are, spiritually and in their ability to deliver this word, it's the message. Praise God. Praise God. It's not anchored in my human ability. It's anchored in the message of Christ and what He did on the cross. And if you continually set under that message, deliverance is going to come. Hallelujah. Transformation is going to come. Power is going to come. And you keep saying, I'll say it this way, you play around the creek bank long enough, you're going to fall in. And you keep setting under the glories and believing in what Christ did for you at the cross. As the Holy Spirit's working on you, there might be some painful moments along the way. But He's ultimately going to bring you and work on each area of our life just one at a time. He won't do it all at once. But He's going to show you, you don't need this. You need Me. And you know what's been my experience with the Lord? Because He's such a good and gracious God, and we're His children. And He wants to give us the things. Not everything. But He loves us. And He will give us some. Not all of what we ask for. But it's been when I've got over it. When I've got over it and I've seen, Lord, I don't really need that. I just need You. I've got You. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. That's all I really need. He's turned around and given me what I was wanting. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had brought me to a point where I didn't have it in front of Him any longer. I saw I can do without it. I don't really need it, Lord. I've got You. I've got Your divine nature. I'm an heir of salvation. I'm a purchase of God. I'm born of Your Spirit. I'm washed in Your blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And man, when you get there, God don't care to give you. He's promised He's going to take care of us and feeding us and clothing us and all that stuff. Yeah, that's going to happen. He said, don't even worry about those things. He said, I clothe the lilies of the field. You know, I feed the birds of the air. Are you not much more important to Me than they are? That's why I said, you put your faith in Christ. I don't care what kind of third world poverty you're in. All of a sudden, God's divine power is going to go to work on your behalf, and you'll get fed. You'll get fed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People depend on third world dictators and all the meal and grain we export that they usually rob and sell. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus will send ravens to feed you if need be. Hallelujah. He'll send you food from sources you never thought it could come from. He'll send you sustenance from sources you never thought it would come from. Hallelujah. Because you're His child and He will care for you. Man, this has been good this morning. It's been a Holy Ghost message. And I please don't take that as me bragging on me. Please don't get that out of that. It's all Him. It's all Him. We've needed to hear this morning. That we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. We've escaped that corruption. That's why over in 2 Peter chapter 2 it said, if you turn from this great escape that faith in Christ has provided for you, and you turn from that, you're worse off than you the were before you knew Christ. Now, that's quite a statement. And I didn't make it. That's in essence what the Word is saying. If you come to know Christ and put your faith in what He did for you at the cross, and then you turn from that and go off into religious corruption, you'd have been better off never to have even put your faith in Him in the first place. That's quite a statement for the Word to make, isn't it? I wouldn't dare make such a statement as a human if it weren't backed up by this Word. It's bone-chilling to think about. But let's close on this. You're a partaker of the divine nature. Please don't ever forget that. And in that partaking of that divine nature, which is predicated exclusively upon your faith in Christ and what He did for you at the cross, that's what's transforming all of us into disciples of Christ. That's what's changing us. The Holy Spirit's working. And His work is always glorious. Because you know what? Every time he removes a barrier or an idol from our life and causes us to see, Lord, I really didn't need that at all. I just need you. That's a great work. Most humans don't view it as such, but that's from a heavenly perspective, that's a tremendous work. Because we've been led one more step in the sanctification process to realizing completely, like the old song says, he's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Praise God. Praise God. Let him who's begun the good work in you continue it. Don't turn from your most holy faith in Christ and what he did for you at the cross. Even if everything's not going perfect in your life right now, you might be going through the trial of your life. Keep your faith in him. It's coming to an end. It will end. And on the other side of it is something altogether so much more glorious than what you had before he took you in it. I just feel the Holy Spirit prodding me this morning to put this across, because this is real. This is how you live for God. I want you to know that. The Holy Spirit just prodded me to say that. What you've heard this morning is the only way to live correctly for God. You try and do it any other way, you're doomed. Or like Brother Larson says, you're toast. You are, spiritually speaking. There's nothing. God help us to learn this. There's nothing we can do. But we're partakers of the divine nature. Christ takes up residence in you and I. His Spirit does. When we put our faith in him. And in that, he has provided everything we're ever going to need. We may think we need a lot more. You know, as I look over the crowd this morning, some of you, thank the Lord, are a lot slimmer than me, but I don't see nobody looking like they're about to starve to death. I think everybody at least came here in a car today, didn't they? I think you got a home to go back to. So what? You're not of some high social strata. So what? Nobody in this world outside of us few knows your name. The one who does know your name, the only one that counts, Jesus, has given you his nature. And an ability to live for him. And he is truly all we need. Hallelujah. He's developing us to bring us to that end. To where we realize that. You know, can I tell you this? As glorious a journey as it is, until we get to glory, there'll always be something there, unfortunately, as we live in this fleshly tabernacle. We're not going to be totally sanctified, that's what I'm saying. But my Lord, when he gives us that little bit, a foretaste of glory, and causes us to see, Jesus, you really are all I need. I didn't need this or that. Praise God. And more often times not, he'll wind up giving it to us then. Man, what a good, gracious God we serve. But you know what he'll do? Then he'll take us on to the next thing. Okay, now we're going to work on this. Now you think you need this. Now you've got this, your priority wrong here, and I'm going to straighten that out. Now we're going to go to work on straightening that out. And it's going to be uncomfortable at times. It's going to be painful at times. But what we must know is that we're partakers of the divine nature. And I want to leave you with this. The Holy Spirit wants me to leave you with this. As long as you place and keep your faith in Christ and what he did for you at the cross, you will never, ever, never, ever, if I can borrow a line from, what's that girl's name? Sings that song, Tara, never, ever, ever. Well, she ain't worth mentioning anyway. But you will never, ever, ever lose that divine nature. Think of that. And that's everything we need right there. And the Holy Spirit is working on us as long as our faith is in Christ. It took Peter a journey of probably about 30 years from the time he denied Christ, 30 to 40. From the time he denied Christ, couldn't stand up to a little girl, to where when it came time for him to be martyred, he had the glory of God on him so strong, was so full of Jesus, he said, crucify me upside down. Wow, what a transformation. That's what Holy Ghost power produces. You think, well, he died. Well, yeah, of course he died. And history bears out he was crucified upside down. But when he drew that last breath, the next thing he was conscious of was two nail-scarred hands reaching out to him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll just stand. I could preach this all day, I believe. And I don't want to wear you out. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you, Lord, that you gently and lovingly work on us. And sometimes as you're transforming us into disciples, as you're transforming us into Christ-likeness, there will be some amount in our flesh at times of pain and unpleasantry. But, oh, Lord, for the glory that you achieve in us, when you achieve the work in us that you've wanted to achieve, how glorious it is. But, Lord, today, your people, and as I look out over this crowd, I believe everyone is right with God, and if not, they know how to get right with God. Lord, as we're in this process of sanctification, Lord, it will bring us so much greater peace and joy if you will just continually remind us of the scripture from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 today, that we're partakers of the divine nature, and in you, Lord Jesus, is everything we need for life and godliness. You've already provided it. We already have it, Lord. And that's really all we need in this life. That will carry us through uncertainties. It will carry us through difficulties. It will carry us through tribulation, pain. It will carry us through a religious world that's hammering away with another gospel that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will keep us loyal to you, Lord, that we not turn away and be like the pig returning to the mud and the dog returning to its own vomit. Oh, Lord, do a work in us today. And, Lord, I know it's not all going to get done today. Lord, we're going to require your working on us till the very moment we're called home to glory. But, oh, Lord, what you want to turn us into. You want to show us that on this processional journey of sanctification, that in Christ Jesus, he has provided all we need for life and godliness. I'm going to ask you now, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord and just